Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. I am your host, Levon. What's going on, family? First off, let me be thankful and mindful for life because I was on my deathbed last week. Yes, I had a cold and I'm a man, so that's the equivalent to being damn near dead. I was completely miserable. I acknowledged that during the show last Saturday. I was like, yo, you know, look, I'm not feeling well, so I'm going to call it quits fairly early, and I needed to do so. But it was one of those situations where I needed to just take some rest and some relaxation, and here I am back and in full EEEFFECT. So, welcome back. The weather's cooperating as well. What's up, cousin? What's buzzing?
What's going on, fam? I miss you, cuz. I haven't been here in a while, so hey. I'm happy to be back. How you doing, baby?
Hey, man. You know, I'm much better than last week, but trust me, I was like walking death last week. It was not a good look. I was in bed from Saturday until Monday. Easy. I was bad. I was really bad off. You know what I'm saying? But everything worked out, so I'm happy about that. You know, this not so smooth transition from winter to spring and not really having a winter and all that kind of added to it, to be honest with you. But it's over now, and I'm happy about that. So the storm has been weathered. Look, man, and doing this, you know, the doing the research, staying up on current affairs and current topics. Last weekend was not a good weekend to be sick. This week in general was not a good week to be sick. You know, I came out last week blazing, guns firing, both barrels, and the rocket, the grenade launcher from underneath because of the pending care to the, excuse me, the pending changes to healthcare, the healthcare legislation, correct? Now, it failed miserably, crashed and burned horribly, but this was something that I felt, I don't know how many people really engaged in, and that wasn't a good look. Like, the changes that were made under the Obama administration to healthcare will fundamentally change the course of our nation. And I'm not saying that lightly. I understand that to be true because you're giving people something that they didn't have before en masse, which is a better chance at life. So if you have people living, you have better chances for both good and bad things, right? You have folks now whom are who can be more focused on achievement than they are on just maintenance of themselves. So now you have some folks whom may have an illness that is right now in its infant stages of a cure, but now that they can take care of themselves better, they want to further that research, so either they volunteer themselves to be a guinea pig or they put themselves in a situation where they get more learning under their belt, so then they go out and become a researcher and, you know, they help find a cure. I mean, there's so much shit that can happen because more people are living and or alive than it would have happened had these people not been with us, had they not been counted amongst us. You dig what I'm saying to you? So this fight, this battle, was one of those things where I often say, because I'm a 70s baby, you know, I grew up in the 70s and early 80s and stuff, I was born too late. Well, this is one of those times where I was like, yo, I'm glad I was born now, when I was, because I was here for it. This is really, that whole thing was really a defining moment in our country. And the affirmation of such via the destruction of this buffoonery that the party in power now try to put forward is a confirmation to that. Like, first off, Trump is an idiot. Let's be honest with that. Like, we hold no punches about that. Well, I hold no punches about that, how I feel about this dude. He's an idiot and he's an ass. He is walking away from Sister, good morning. How are you, Sister Rashi? He's walking away from his responsibility as president to affect change, to be the protector of the people. He's ducking and dodging. This isn't what I really want to do. You know, do this now or else you'll never get a shot. All this bullying shit. Look, I'm not above the president using the Oval Office as a bully pulpit. I'm not above that. I understand that there are times when that needs to happen. This wasn't the time, in my opinion. This wasn't the fight that we needed to have, period. And let's be real about this shit. The biggest challenge to the Affordable Health Care Act was the name and the person associated to the name.
That's definitely what it was about.
Those were the biggest challenges to the Affordable Health Care Act. The biggest fucking challenges. Scrap the fact that over 20 million people now have health care coverage that didn't have it before. Scrap the fact that, and I'm going back to some of the figures, going back to the CBO's numbers, if the Republican plan had taken place where you had 55 million people that didn't have health care before the Affordable Health Care Act, there are 50 million people, and under the Republican plan, you were going to be able to save 50 million of them. So now you have 5 million folks that go right back into the fucking spot that they were in before. This is not pennies. These are not flowers. These are not trees. These are not rocks. These are people. People whom can be, I'm not saying they all will be, but can be vital parts to the betterment of society. That is the liberalism in me, right? That is the glasses half full versus half empty. So I understand all that. Yes, it absolutely fucking is. But that goes back to the conservative stance of we want to save these children, we want to save these babies. At the same time, if they do something wrong when they become teenagers or adults, let's kill them. It's the same difference. You know what I'm saying? Six in one hand, half dozen the other. It's the same fucking thing, just on the different sides of the spectrum, right? I understand that if you get political, you risk you take the chance of losing yourself because you're going to contradict yourself many times over. And look, that's not falling on deaf ears. Our caller from Pennsylvania usually says that, right? I'm cool with that. This isn't about being political. This, in my opinion, this is about just sanity and being universally kind. Meaning, why are we allowing our representatives whom have universal health care? Because basically that's what the fuck they have. You know, there's nothing they have to worry about with respect to their health. Sit and argue about those of us whom are the least fortunate and what they what they do or do not want. How the hell do you know? Seriously, how do you know? Young lady, I saw a report on, I believe it was on Huffington Post. They showed this clip. They were talking to this young lady, and she was holding a baby in her arms. She said, you know, this fight is about those of us that work 50, 60 hours a week being talked about by those whom work, what does Congress work? Like 6-8 months out of the year? That's it? Because they have, you know, several hiatuses throughout the year. And when you add all that shit up, they only work, this is about us who work 50, 60 hours a week just to survive, being argued about over and for those who make six figures. Like, there's no connection there. There's absolutely no fucking connection there. And this is one of the problems with Washington, D.C. People stay in D.C. too long. There are too many folk whom keep them in D.C. via dinners and speaking engagements and all that side money. All that side money. All that's greasing the wheels to get what they want. All these lobbyists all over the damn place just dropping money right, left, left, and right. You know, they don't go back home. Very rarely do they do town halls. And when they do, you see the feverment of the folks there. You know what I'm saying? Like, in some of the most red, concentrated areas of the nation, you have folks turning out saying, don't do this. Don't do this. And the sad thing for me, there were two. First off, this is the demise of Paul Ryan. And I think Paul Ryan is a smart dude. But he had his jaws and teeth locked into this fight so much so that it got to a point where it was a weight around his neck. And instead of him saying, let me step back and look at this objectively, he locked in so much that for whatever reason, he chose not to let go. And I understand that his vision of fiscal conservativeness, balancing the budget, I understand all that. We will never, I will say this again, we will never get back to those days. People, stop fucking living in the past. The shit is over. It's done. Move on. Adapt and overcome. We will never get back to that. We will never see those days again. Why? Because we don't make shit. When we were making shit, you could do that. We don't make shit anymore. We import. You can control your budget. You can control your your import tariffs, your GDP, all this shit you can improve upon. You can make secondary, tertiary moves on when you're actually making things and exporting them. We don't like it, but the Chinese are playing fucking around with their currency. Why can they do that? How is it that they can do that and no one can do anything about it? Because they make shit. They make shit. 80%, if not more, of the shit in your house is made in China. It's made in China. You make the rules when you making the dough. It is what it is. They make shit. They sell the shit that they make to other people. People pay them. Why? They say it's cheaper, okay? It's all about the bottom line for corporations, okay? If that's the mentality you want to carry, understand that there are consequences to that. It's cheaper, okay. It's all about the bottom line, okay. Well, guess what that means? The people around you won't be working. Why? Because it's cheaper for you to export that labor than for you to keep it at home. So when they then stand up and say, we want jobs, have the intestinal fortitude to say, that's nice, but it's cheaper for us to export this shit and then import it back than for us to actually hire your ass. So, you know, Trump's running around, again, trying to lay claim to some fucking jobs that were created and announced just this week. He had nothing to do with this shit. Absolutely no direct correlation between his administration and these jobs. Understand something. The next jobs report will be Trump's jobs report, because that would fall into Q2. Yeah, fall into Q2. So most businesses already had plans for Q1. No, that would still be Q1. That shit, that ain't gonna be here. So around September, you're gonna see what Trump has actually done. To be honest with you, because most businesses plan for Q1. Between Q3 and Q4 of the year previous. Well, President Obama was still in office in Q3 and Q4. That has nothing to do with Trump. Trump's victory came in November. That's in smack dab in the middle of Q4. This was right around the time that most businesses start preparing for end of year and taxes and all that type of shit. What he did had very little effect on the majority of businesses. Those plans were already set in place and, like, this is what we're going to do. Because you have to have the capital, right? You have to have the planning already in place, right? I mean, you just don't build the fucking facility in a week or two, like, yeah, we're going to build that. You have to survey it. You got to get plans. You have to get plans approved. You have to get permits approved. You know what I'm saying? The shit just doesn't pop up just like that. Not that simple. It's not that easy. Anyhow, let's go back to the healthcare debate. So the orange one sends his minions out to threaten the leadership. Not only do they say, vote now or you'll never get the opportunity again. Also says, vote now or your ass is going to pay at the next election, right? Now, the problem is the people who are getting better, who know of someone who's gotten better, whom are still living just simply by maintaining, not necessarily getting better, but simply by maintaining, whom have been saved, whom are no longer in need of an emergency loan or assistance or whatever, because no longer are they concerned about losing their home, whatever other property or values because of these fucking health hospital bills that they can no that they can't afford because they weren't able to have insurance. Their kids are now covered longer or for a longer period of time under their umbrella. So now the kids don't have to go out here and struggle is difficult. The windfall of benefits that the people of the country have felt from the Affordable Health Care Act made it, as our president says, and I almost threw up every time I say every time I call that motherfucker the president, difficult. Look, dummy says, you heard it. Who thought that healthcare could be so difficult? Duh! Every fucking body. That's why no one ever did it before. Hello? Do you think you were the first monkey on that damn tricycle? No, it was never done before because the shit was so damn difficult. So you take it on with your Republican colleagues, again, and understand, so this is a relationship of convenience. Understand that this is a boyfriend-girlfriend type situation between Trump and the Republican leadership where they know it's over, but neither one of them want to say goodbye. Like Gladys Knight, neither of them want to say want to be the first one to say goodbye. But they're looking to dump one another, and they're like, "But I need to get this first. So let me get this one more thing before I, oh, shit, let me get this one more thing. Oh, I need this one more thing." So it's greed that's going on. And this whole atmosphere of convenience. But when the one is no longer convenient to the other, yeah, it's going to be hot potatoes. They're going to drop one another like hot potatoes. Not going to be pretty. Not going to be. Trump already transitioned because he knew he didn't have the votes because Ryan told him so. To he wants to do tax reform and what else did he want to do? I think he wants to do infrastructure. Tax reform and infrastructure. First off, you should have started with fucking infrastructure because that would have put people to work, which was one of the campaign promises that you made. Don't have a lot of damn belief in your promises. Let's look, you've sold us a bunch of shit already too many times. There's only but so many times you got to slap me before I understand that you are an abuser. It is what it is. But this promise, not only from Trump, but the leadership about how they were going to immediately repeal and replace Obamacare, how they had a plan, and then it comes to find out they don't have a fucking plan. But you voted 100-something-plus times to take down the Affordable Health Care Act, but you have no fucking plan to replace it. Absolutely none. None whatsoever. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, sis. No. We love you. We see you. But we can't hear you. We're not ignoring you. Not at all. Rashi's feeling left out. She's like, yo, answer my damn questions. I'm like, sis, I can't hear you.
Well, I mean, I was letting you go and do your thing, man, because I know you have your rant. Because so she's going to have to wait. But we love her, though.
But yeah, but okay, so damn, what was that? So they're gonna dump one another, blah 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 blah. Should have started with job creations because that would have put since you're in abuse. Oh, this whole situation. All right, hold on, go ahead, sis. You ready? That's something on your end because I have you and. I got you, sis, but I'm not hearing you. Okay, call me back because I'm not hearing you. All right, anyhow, the leadership promised to repeal and replace Obamacare. They had no plan after 100 and something votes in the House. I don't know what their problem is, but it's despicable. It's deplorable. So Ryan gets up, and he gives this quick-ass fucking speech in respect to why the plan failed, why they couldn't secure the vote. Embarrassing. Totally embarrassing. Here is landmark opportunity for this new administration. They've staked their name. They've staked claim to this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And they fucking failed. Now, understand something. This would have died in the Senate. It was not going anywhere in the Senate. I don't even think McConnell would have brought it to the floor, to be honest with you, because McConnell understands and understood that they didn't have the fucking votes. Didn't have the votes. It would have been DOA when it got to the Senate floor steps. But the way they're trying to wiggle out of this thing is even further embarrassing, and it really reminds me of a bad date. What I mean by that, and I'll paint the picture for you, cuz, because I'm pretty sure you've been in this situation as well. So you're sitting at the crib on a Friday or Saturday. You ain't got nothing to do. You chilling. The phone rings. Hey, what's going on? Nothing, I'm good. What you doing? Nothing. What you doing? Nothing. You want to get together? Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. And this is a phone call that you've been waiting for some time, because this young lady and you got some chemistry. You got some chemistry. She's like, woo, this could be a really good situation. So she finally calls you. She gives you the green light. So you tip your ass on through. Here you go. You sitting and you talking. 2 hours in, you still talking. You sitting there in your mind. You're like, what the fuck are we still talking for? What the hell? So you try to make a move. And, you know, she's ginger about the move. And you're like, oh, what? So you like, So you make a little stronger move, and then she goes, she comes out the mouth with, we can't. What you mean? I'm on my cycle. What the fuck you call me out here for? It's 11 o'clock at night. What the hell? I'm confused. And that's how I feel about this whole trying to walk back the call from the president for this repeal. Like, oh, no, I wasn't into that. Nah. And that's his mindset. Like, nah, that really wasn't me. That was them. They wanted to do that. I just went along for the ride. But hold on. You just had a rally on Wednesday in which you said Obamacare, the worst thing ever, is gone. It's done. We have the votes. We're going to get it done, folks. We have the votes. It's done. It's over. Repeal and replace. Full. It's gotta go. Gotta go. Huh? But you weren't into that. Help me. Because I'm lost. I don't understand. I really don't. Now, you come up again with the travel ban that got slapped down again. And I was waiting for him to say Obama's judge did this. But then I remembered he has Gorsuch up on the Hill trying to get confirmed. So he wouldn't say that right now. He can't say that right now. So he's going through this whole confirmation for the next Supreme Court justice. And I'm watching his confirmation hearings early in the week because, you know, I was in a bed, so I had shit to do. I don't know how to feel about this guy, because there were opportunities. Al Franken called his ass out. He's like, you know, the whole situation with the tractor trailer driver. Did you see this at all? Because, like, are you familiar with this?
What? Which one?
The tractor trailer driver.
No, I didn't track that one.
So, all right. So the Supreme Court nominee ruled on this case where a tractor-trailer driver broke down in the middle of a snowstorm. And it was negative outside, double digits negative. So he calls his dispatcher and says, look, I'm broken down. What do you all want me to do? And they said, look, stay there. We'll send somebody to get you. It's all good. He says, okay, no problem. So he's there for a good while, right? So long, he falls asleep. His cousin calls him just on a humble. He and the cousin call. Cousin says, yo, I'm coming to get you. Cousin comes out, you know, as he hangs up the phone with the cousin, he calls back and says, look, man, I'm still out here. What do you want me to do? The brakes on my trailer have frozen. I don't feel comfortable or safe driving the trailer in this situation. I don't want to cause harm to myself or anybody else. Look, we're coming to get you. Just be careful. Again, this is double-digit cold. This is the middle of a fucking blizzard. Long story short, the dude refuses and he leaves. Well, he actually moves the trailer for a bit. Then he says, nope, I'm going to stop. So he stops again. He detaches and he bobtails on back. The company fired him. He sued the company. Supreme Court nominee backs the company saying that they were within their rights to fire him. And Al Franken was like, yo, look, do you not think that was absurd? I used to be in the business of pointing out absurdities. If you don't know who Al Franken is, understand that Senator Al Franken used to be a comedian. Very funny guy. He's still very funny. But that was his job. He was a comedian. And he decided at a certain point in life to serve. So he ran for Congress. He got elected. I think he served 3-4 terms already. He's good. He's really, really good at what he does. But, you know, again, he started out this whole thing. Huh?
So I guess that's why Trump thought he can do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for real, right? He thought any clown could make it happen. But any hooskies. So he's like, so he asked him, he said, what would you have done had you been in this place, the driver's place? Senator, I don't know what I would have done. Hold on, sir, this isn't a tough question. This isn't a political question. This is a very simple question. Would you have risked death of yourself by staying and waiting for them to come get you, or you causing potential death and harm to others by you taking that trailer and driving it, knowing full and well that the brakes were frozen? What would you have done? But Senator, I can't comment. I wasn't in that situation. Sir, you can't comment on that? And to me, that put me in the mindset of, okay, I understand this dude is trying to get a job, but going back to your stance, family, about personal responsibility and ownership of self, it was a full display of why we have so many waffling young people. Because we have so many waffling older people. Say what you mean what you say. If you did it, you did it. Shit happens. We don't make, every decision we make isn't going to be the greatest decision. Every decision we make isn't going to be the right decision. That's okay. Make another damn decision. What's not okay is you simply allowing things to happen when you saw them coming and you could have prevented it. That's not okay. What's not okay is you just going along with the flow and or you making a decision, and then when you're questioned about the decision or you feel some heat from the decision, you step back and say, well, I only did it because you said or they did or so on and so forth.
But the other thing that comes along with that, man, is accountability. Like, when we have adults trying to hold children accountable, but no one is holding adults accountable. You know, and that's the big disparity in the responsibility era realm itself, is that who's holding adults accountable? Who's saying that, hey, look, guy, you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, or and if you do do this, this is going to happen. Outside of police officers policing our communities, nobody's governing anyone else. Nobody's holding other people accountable. That's why this guy is allowed to do the things that he's allowed to do, because nobody's really holding him accountable. You know, there's at some point in politics there has to be accountability, you know, with your seat. And right now, there's no accountability. Analyze the shit that we got to go through every single day, every single week since this guy's been in office.
And, you know, the other side of the show was about beatings, right? Whippings. And I really wanted to go into that. I was hoping Rashi was going to be able to get her technical difficulties straightened out, but it didn't look like that happened. Because I wanted to honestly have an open conversation and discussion about that. I was listening to HUR, I believe. Nope, that's not true. Karen Hunter. I was listening to Karen Hunter the other night on Sirius, and she had a young lady, Stacy, somebody, I can't remember her last name, it'll come to me, who's a psychiatrist, I believe, and she was talking about not beating your children as a form of discipline. And she specifically said, you know, the children aren't slaves. Beating them is not going to change their behavior. It's not going to work. And my face kind of screwed up. Like, why didn't we have to inject slavery into this, first and foremost? Like, that has nothing to do with it. Like, I honestly believe that you shouldn't have to beat the hell out your kids all the time. But every now and again, they might need an ass with it. And, you know.
Never hurt nobody.
Right. And you know, when you turn 1 year old and you can talk back, then you can get fucked up. Like Bernie Mac said, like, nigga, you're old enough to talk back, you're old enough to get fucked up. You either wanted the throat or the stomach. You know what I'm saying? The throat or the stomach, whatever one you want, I'm gonna give it to your ass. But shit, look, this goes back though to last week, week before last, there was a article published on Facebook talking about your children shouldn't be the focal point of your life, and someone sent it to me, and I was like, yo, I totally agree with that. Look, I think that you have to give them what they need, some of what they want, and you always need to be there for guidance, but once they become adults, it's their time. You know, do what you do. I'm done. I'm here to help you, but I'm not always here to save your ass. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be running around my grown damn children talking about, you know, oh, I got to get Johnny out of this, and I got to get, you know, Lisa out of that. Man, hell no, look, motherfucker, look. When my ass was broke, I had to do it. It builds character. Figure that shit the fuck out. I'm not going to see your ass homeless. I'm not going to see your ass starving. But you're not going to eat filet mignon either while I eat fucking Fruit Loops, because you out here doing some stupid shit. Or you out here working and going to school, and instead of you saving your money, you decide to spend your money on apps or Jordans or what's the Tom Clancy joint, yo? That the video games. He had like clandestine art, some shit. Like, come on, dude, don't leave me out there like that. You know the joints, Tom Clancy. All them fucking games that he got. Like, you know, you gotta go out here and get goddamn $80 game every damn month or whatever. Like, no, that don't work either. You know, there needs to be balance. Motherfucker, you can eat oodles and noodles. You can eat tuna. Ain't nothing wrong with some hot dogs. You know, do some beans. Notice I didn't say pork and beans, but you can do some damn beans. Shit, hey, work that shit out. You make your money. You got money. Don't turn to me every damn 5 seconds talking about you need. When you're going out here doing what you want. That don't work. They got to be some balance there.
Let me understand. So was the topic that at a certain point, the children should not be a focal point in your life, or children should not be a focal point of your life?
No, it was the way I read it and understood it, it was a general reference. It was
right,
a general.
So, I mean, and that's why I kind of disagree, and I say that because, you know, my children serve as a motivational factor to me. So they help me push through at certain points in my life. So I feel like everything I do is not necessarily for me. You know, I benefit some from it. But, you know, we talked about before about generational wealth. If you're
right.
You know, so into generational wealth, then you realize that everything that you do is for your kids. So then, you know,
right.
That would change. For me, that would change that tone that my focal point, you know, my life shouldn't be focused on my kids because if I'm older and retired, you know, my focus should change to, okay, even though I'm not working anymore, let me keep my health as good as, you know, up to par as possible for my kids. Because, yes, it's
right.
For me in a sense, but I need to be here as long as I can for my kids and my grandkids. So I think that everything about my life is centered around my kids. It's frustrating as hell sometimes. It's frustrating as hell sometimes because sometimes I want to be a butthead and just do what the hell I want to do, but I know I can't because I have my children who rely on me and I have their futures that depend on me.
And going back to what I was saying, like, I don't think it's coming, again, from the way I read it and understood it, it was a mixture of what you were saying and what I was saying, meaning do what you need to do. Make sure you are taking care of your family, not only for the now, but also for the future. But don't be foolish for your children. You dig what I'm saying to you? Like, if you got a little motherfucker that keeps going back and forth to jail every goddamn week, let that little motherfucker stay in jail. You shouldn't be putting your house up as a form of collateral for this bastard's bail. If this little motherfucker, male or female, has been to jail 6 or 7 damn times and it's their fault. You know what I'm saying? When are they going to learn? You have to allow your children to learn and experience some shit that's not always going to be good, it's not always going to be easy. Some of that shit, some of those experiences are going to be hard, they're going to be harsh, they're going to be cold, and they're going to be cruel. There's nothing wrong with allowing them to experience that. What we have a lot of are folk whom are out here trying to be their kids' best friend. Fuck that. I'm your parent. There are certain lessons that I cannot teach you, but life will teach you, and I have to allow life to teach you those lessons. Me rushing in all the time to, quote-unquote, save you is not helping you. That's the way I understood it. If that makes sense. Did that make sense?
It did, cuz.
Okay. All right. Were you dealing with little mama?
Yeah, I'm back. Go ahead, yo. But no, I mean, we good, man. Like I said, I definitely agree. It varies from person to person, I think. But I think some people get caught up in that, you know, my kid's grown. No, man, like, you still a mom. You still a dad. Like, you still have to parent.
Right.
You still have to do all those things. And sometimes you can be selfish sometimes. But I think at the end of the day, the focal point should, you know, in my opinion, should be the people who depend on you, whether it be your kids, your siblings, other loved ones, so forth.
Well, look, there is no secret about the love lost or not lost between my son and I. Now, that little motherfucker, I love him to death, but he's in a discovery mode right now, and I have to allow him to discover himself. You know what I'm saying? And whenever he's ready to sit back down and we can build, we will build again. But until he's ready, I can't force it down his throat. I've got to make sure that I continue to live as I should and do what I'm supposed to do in order to be in a position to help him when he realizes that he can't do it by himself. You know what I'm saying? Now, he's hard-headed, so it might be some time. But that's okay. I'm patient. I am definitely patient. I will allow him to go through whatever he needs to go through in order to figure out that there is more to it than he is really prepared to handle. And that when he gets to that point, I'm still here to help him out. And I'm cool with that.
Hey,
I'm
so,
cool
so question,
that.
How far back does a parent stand when they have a child that's in that discovery mode and they're not, you know, taking the advice and pretty much, you know, in a sense, rebelling and not, you know, taking to what the parents are giving. How far should a parent stand back in that case? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, that's as unique as parenting to each child that you may have, to be honest with you. I think that depends on the child, and it also depends on the parents or the parent, and your willingness to allow space or how much space you are willing to allow. You know, I can go hands off and be like, yo, that's how you feel, go for it. I'm good. You know, I don't love you any less. I'm right here whenever you want to return. It's all good. Won't hold it against you. Won't talk shit to you about it. Like, yo, you ready to work? Yep, let's go. Other people can't do that. You know, they got to have their say-so. They got to have their input. They have to have their two cents in. They have to have their hands on the situation, if you will. They want to be around every day or every other day or call you 3-4 times a day or whatever. I don't have those issues. None whatsoever. You know, and I was talking to my brother about that some time ago, and I was like, yo, you know, one of the things that I think really messed me up about what – I can't say it really messed me up, but it set me on that path was going away so early. And the time that I went away, you know, I did some real soul searching about that. You know, leaving the country at such a young age and the lack of technology, the family being the way the family is, really put me in a situation where I was by myself, you know what I'm saying, and left to fend for myself. So that shit doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
But do you think that gives you?
It doesn't make it
different.
It gives you a different advantage. Yes, because I understand how it feels. I understand what it looks like, and I too understand. Though it doesn't bother me, that doesn't mean it doesn't bother somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You know, now I don't understand how it would bother them because it doesn't bother me. So I can't feel with them. I can feel for them, though. You know, I can have apathy for them, but I can't say that I'm feeling exactly what they feel because the shit didn't. You know, if I had those feelings, I had to get over that shit real quick. You know what I mean? Because life is for the living, man. You got to press on. If you stay there sulking and in your feelings about some shit that you can't change, for me, it's just not good. It's not good at all. So, you know, I put whatever feelings that I may have had about that situation to the side very early on and just dealt with it. You know, that's what the fuck it is. It is what it is, and pressed on. You know, I understand when people say to me, yo, that's not the best thing to do, or I couldn't do that. I understand. But that was the way that I chose to deal with it. That worked for me, and I'm cool with that. I don't say you have to do that. I don't say it will work for you too. I'm just saying I know that worked for me. It got me to the point that I am right now, and I'm cool with it.
You know, so it's the same thing, you know, I feel like with Trey. Like, if he's what, 20, 21 now?
He's 21.
Yeah, so, you know, when you have a child who's an adult, you know, at some point, you had to accept that if they're okay with it, then you have to be okay with it. You know, and and again, that's why I get like the continuous parenting is because, you know, if I have a wayward child who's just like, you know, way out there, you know, we come from a family of drug addicts and criminals and stuff like that. And the one thing I learned from Grandma, you know, Mary Hightower, is that she never stopped parenting. She never was like, okay, well, since you want to do this, then, you know, I'm done. She made I asked something different. She was always in rescue mode, and she did that until she died. So it's like, you know, her being my example, I'm like, there's really nothing my kids can do or say that's going to stop me from not, you know, being there or stop me from, you know, continuing to assert myself and push and guide and teach and mentor, even if they're not receiving it. You know, I'm still going to slap my little comments there. I'm still going to, you know, make my suggestions. And at the end of the day, if they don't take it, then I'm like, okay, well, you know, at least I said it. But I mean, it's hard. I guess it's hard, you know, if you have, like I said, a child who just like, yo, whatever, I'm going to do me. It's hard to sit back, and it's actually hard to keep pressing because it takes so much out.
Right. But have you ever not thought about disciplining your children physically?
Think about it, I do it.
I said not disciplining them physically. Was it ever one of those things? Was it ever one of those things like when you were younger or before Michael was born, and you were like, "Yo, look, I don't think I'm gonna be a beater."
Well, no. What I did was I changed the term to beating to disciplining. I think when I was saying beating, I was thinking about Mary Hightower hit me with a broomstick in the corner of the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. So, I mean, that's why I changed the terminology, and it kind of helped me put things into perspective. But there was a time where I really wasn't a big ass whooper from the beginning, but I'm a good jacker upper. Yeah, I jack my kids up really
well. I got you.
And one time I jacked the mayor up so good, man, he peed on himself. And I was like, man, like, so at first I was like, yeah, I'm the man, but then I was like, no, yo, that's crazy. Like, your son shouldn't be that damn scared of you when he's pissing on himself because you jacked him up. So I had to learn how to balance the nurturing and caring and the loving with the, you know, the jacking up.
Okay. Just he peed on himself. That was a good ass jacking up, for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was on target, yo.
For you young folks, jacking up is, you know, usually just grabbing somebody real good by the shirt and pulling them in real close and having a good conversation with them through the grit of your teeth. Like, motherfucker, if you move one more time, I will burn you out this motherfucker. Yeah, like one of them conversations. Yeah.
It was funny because I actually remember what I said to him. When I grabbed him, I was like, boy? And that was it. He was like, you should be just. I think it was my eyes and everything, and he was like, he just let go, yo. It was crazy. So I definitely had to change. I even had to change that. You know, I couldn't do it so abruptly and so forcefully. I had to hook it up for him.
Right. Oh, man. That's funny. I've never had second thoughts about whipping a kid's ass. Like, I mean, and again, let me be clear. I'm not talking about just putting hands on the child just to put hands on the child. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you are in need, boom. You know, I reference this often, but, you know, Trey and I, our first fight was when I went to get him some hard-bottom shoes. You know, I sat his little ass in this chair, and the chair was a huge chair. I sat him all the way in the back.
How do you have a fight with your son in hard-bottom shoes, yo?
Right. So, you know, he was like fucking 11, 12 months old. So I sat him in a chair. I told him specifically, I said, Trey,
I like
don't
that down.
Move.
Specifically.
Right. Right. I said, Trey, don't move. So I turned around, I'm talking to the sales lady, and his little ass wiggled off that chair, and he fell. And he started crying, that knot started getting big on his forehead. And the girl was like, oh, my God, you ain't going to get him? I said, no, I need you to tell me more about these shoes. And she's like, are you serious? I said, absolutely. I told his little ass to sit the fuck down. That's what the hell I meant. He will be okay. So he went, dude, he went in the full-fledged Oscar Tony Award crying, just going at it. Then when he realized my ass didn't even bat an eye or turn even a little bit toward him, he was like, yo, this motherfucker ain't going to come get me. And when he stopped, and he stopped for a good 2-3 minutes, that's when I picked his little ass up. I sat him back in the chair again, and I said, yo, don't move. He didn't move a damn muscle. He was in the exact position that I sat his ass in that second time when I picked him up. He didn't move a muscle. I don't even think his ass breathed. I think he barely breathed, dog. I really did. That dude didn't flinch. He didn't move 1/8 of an inch out of that damn position. Not 1/8 of an inch. You know what I mean? Look, you have to learn. And that was my thing when the young lady made that comment. It's like, people learn in different ways. Everyone's not going to learn by verbally. They're not going to learn visually. Some folk, you got to put either the fear of God in them, or you got to put that pain to them. Some people are just like that. Some people like shit like that. You know,
Do you think that kind of shaped the relationship you have with Trey now?
Nah. What the biggest thing for me with him was the fact that I was there and his other brothers didn't have anybody there. And, with him being the youngest, I think that really fucked with him because he had to hear that shit. Not from his oldest brother, but, him and the brother right above him, they're only a year and, 12 days apart. They are exactly 1 year, and I'm being honest, they're, 12 days apart. That's it. So, growing up in that atmosphere and feeling for his brother, because he's a very sensitive dude. He tries not to be, but he's a very sensitive dude. Feeling for his brother, I don't understand why my dad is here and your dad isn't. You know what I'm saying? So that resentment from his brother probably got passed to him. Well, it didn't probably. It got passed to him, and then he in turn passed it on to me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm cool with that. I understand that. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at him at all. It is what it is. But that didn't mean that I didn't put my hands on him when he fucked up. That didn't mean that I didn't congratulate him when he did right. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't going to stop me. I still had to do what I got to do. That's all. Now he wants to be a rapper. Kids.
He's doing really good at,
man. He's doing very well at that. He's doing very well at that. But the most important thing about that for me isn't the rhymes, but that he understands the business. You know what I'm saying? Because you can do like Chance the Rapper has done. You can market your own shit. You can keep all your own money if you understand the business. So you can not only be good at being an MC, but you can be great as a rapper. Because now you're controlling your destiny. You know what I'm saying? I don't see the thirst from him to learn that side of it. It's my responsibility. So for his birthday, I bought him a dummies book about the music industry, and it's a dummies guide to the music industry. Hey, here's a quick lowdown reference piece for you to go to understand your craft. The writing the rhymes part, that's pretty simple. You know, you go through life, you see certain things, you comment about those things. That's pretty simple. Negotiating your contract, understanding how much you're going to get paid per unit, understanding the difference in virtual units versus actual units, meaning how much you're going to get for a CD versus how much you're going to get from a download, and you know what services you should use if you choose to allow your music to be put online, so on and so forth. Those are the things that I want to help him understand and really get a grasp of. I can't make him, but I would like to at least offer him the information so that he can make the best decisions for him as possible. Again, still love him. It is what it is. I ain't mad at the dude at all. You know, 21 years old, you got to live your life, man. There's a lot of things that he could have done differently. There's some things I could have done differently. Together, we could have, if we had worked better together, he would have definitely had a much better life than he has right now. But it takes two. It takes two. I had the time, the resources to help him in more ways than one. But he has to understand and be willing to be helped. If not, then he gets what he gets.
And again, like we talked about before, if you're okay on either side, then it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really as simple as that. Like, you know, I feel like at the age of 12, you're able to form your own opinions, even though your decisions don't matter at 12, in your mind, you can make your own decisions at the age of 12. You can start deciphering between really understanding what's right and what's wrong, and putting those things into perspective and applying those things to your life. So at 21, you really are at that point where it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. It really only matters what I want to do, and if I'm able to deal with the consequences or the backlash, whatever that comes from my decision making. And you know, once you get to that point, you understand that, man. It's kind of like you're untouchable, and you're untouchable in a good way, and you're untouchable in a bad way. The good way is that, again, you're able to deal with those decisions that you make. The bad thing is you kind of put up walls to where you won't let anybody in. You can't be influenced by anybody in a positive way. Nobody can tell you anything because you got it. I got this. I got to figure it out. But what you're doing is you're forgetting the fact that there have been millions of people who've done the same thing before you, but keeping it on a more specific level, in your family, there's hundreds of people who did it before you. So considering that there's been hundreds of people that do it before you, why would you not reach back and say, hey, look, you know, how do you do this? For example, me and Uncle Tyrone never really had a strong relationship. But as far as Army stuff, he was the closest person in the family that I knew that, you know, was in the Army. So as far, he could talk to me specifically about the Army. Now, you, my father, and other people could talk to me about the military in general, but he can talk to me about the Army. So I actually had to humble myself, because even though I thought I had to figure it out, I was an ROTC, I know this, I know that, I got this, I got that, I had to reach back and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what can you tell me about this? You know, what should I do in this situation? Same thing with Mike Dewberry, our neighbor. I had to reach out to him. That was a little bit more comfortable to do because he was always there. But still, for me to think that people who know me know I've been through a lot. So at the age of 17, I was really like a 21, 22, 23-year-old male as far as mentality is concerned. So at 17, I really had to humble myself to ask for advice, to ask for input. But it takes a person to recognize who they are, like you said, as far as his journey is concerned, or any child's journey. At some point, you have to recognize who you are. You have to recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. I know I didn't make it through my mother's drug addiction by myself. You know what I'm saying? I know I didn't make it through, you know, moving from pillar to post, you know, not having somewhere to rest sometimes and not having food sometimes. I know I didn't make it through that but by myself. So with that being the case, even though that support unit or that network might have changed, I still had to rely on a network to become who I am today. And with people like Trey, unfortunately, it might take something to happen to him to realize, because nothing really has happened to Trey yet. You know what I mean? Like, he's experienced.
And I told that to him a million times. I said, yo, you know what? You're the type of dude that you are going to have to get hurt before you realize that you didn't have to do all this by yourself. So right. Something's going to happen to you, sadly, that is really going to hurt you. And when that happens, I will be around to help you. I'm not here to, again, to say I told you so, so on and so forth. But we all learn differently, dog. And he is that dude that he got it. I got it. But every time you got it, the shit you do falls apart. Dog. That means you ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? You should, again, you 21. There's a lot of things at this point you shouldn't be trying to do. You should just be doing them. Right? You should be doing them. Again, you have had me your entire life. There's never been a time in your life where you didn't know me, you didn't know where I was, I didn't come see you, nothing. That has never happened in the entirety of your life. Now, there may have been times in your life where I was going through a rough patch and I couldn't see you as often, but I still saw you. You did what I'm saying to you? I've never avoided you. I've always, you know, shown love to you, your mother, your brother, so on and so forth. Always. So you don't have those stepping stones, those you don't have those roadblocks that a lot of cats have when you speak of mother, father, not married and together raising a child or children. You don't have those things. So what's your issue? What's your problem? You know, you have parents who have, for the most part, always worked. You're absolutely right. That he does not have any problems. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
And that's
so he's never really had to figure anything.
Go ahead.
He's never really had to figure out anything by himself. Nothing hard. He's never really had to deal with any true adversity in his life. No, never. Relatively speaking, never. Never. You know, I used to fuck with him all the time. Like, dude, you've never come home. The phone wasn't on. The cable was out. You've never done any of that. Never. You've never, ever once woke up and your cell phone wasn't on. You never once woke up and the cable or the internet wasn't on. You've never seen anything like that. Ever. You don't know what it is to be like, Dad, I need some money, and you know, you hear back, well, man, I wish you would have told me 2 days ago. You've never heard that from me. You don't know anything about that life. You know zero
about
that life. He ain't about that life, dude. Not at all. Not at all. You know, you tell me. We don't have something, we short something, we in the store. Same day. Not that next week. Not that next day. Not after I get off the phone and call a man about a horse or a woman about a horse or whatever. Mm-mm. Dad, where? Oh, come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We gonna get that. What you talking about? If you say we ain't had it, right? Yeah, let's go get that. This ain't no game. This ain't no game. Work too hard. Work too long. Work too much to be gone without. No, no, sir. No, sir. Now, understand, please believe it. You ain't getting everything you want. Because you need to know how to humble yourself or to be humble. But the stuff you need, come on now. That's not even a question. That's not even a concern. So, how the hell do we get to talking about my son so much? You know, I get that boy on the show again.
So, you know,
yeah.
Kind of fell.
I got to get him on the show again. See if he'll come on the show so we can have a conversation. Him and some of his friends. You know, I really want to do the show sooner rather than later about mothers and daughters and their relationship. You know, we had the fathers and sons, and I want to do mothers and daughters just because I think it's a hell of a topic to tackle, to be honest with you. So I want to have that come up sooner rather than later. Then I want to talk about sons and mothers because, you know, the guy that played House, I want to say, yeah, for real, right? I want to say his name is Hugh Lore, the guy that played House, as the character House. He said one time, he said, you know, our parents mess us all up. They screw us all up. And in no way do I see that more prevalent, to be honest with you, than some of these boys and their mothers.
So, like the boys wearing skirts and skinny legs and shit? You talking about that?
Absolutely. And just the attitude, man. Like, a lot of these dudes out here are walking around behaving like women. You know, they copping attitude. They holding grudges. Dudes don't hold grudges. Motherfuckers, I don't like you. I'm hitting you with... Yes, if I don't like you, I'm hitting you in the mouth. That's what dudes do. That's what dudes do. If I don't like you, I'm hitting you in the mouth. I'm either not associating myself with you or keep coming near you in your realm, or I'm going to hit you in the mouth. That's what men do. We fight. That's what we do. That's the man shit to do. We fight. You got one motherfucking thing to say to me, and I'm hitting you. That's it. That's it. Dude, this shit ain't no secret. It's not hard. You know who about to get fucked up. You know that you don't like the motherfucker. The motherfucker know they don't like you. This shit ain't hard. All this rolling the eyes and talking sideways out of the mouth, that shit that used to get you fucked up. I mean, really fucked up. And these young dudes got this shit twisted. They got this shit twisted. Thinking they can say anything, how they want to say it, any old time. Men don't do shit like that. We don't do shit like men. No. Men understand there's a time and a place for everything. Time and a place for everything. Everything. We understand that. So, no. Nope. Definitely need to have that conversation. Because the people that are suffering from that, on all honesty, are these little girls. That's why they can't find a man. Because these little dudes ain't being taught to be a man. They are emulating the traits of their brothers, their aunts, their cousins, whomever. That's who they're emulating the traits of. Men don't hate on other men. Yeah, dude, I mean, seriously, when you grew up, was there a dude in your neighborhood, even if you didn't like him, that you just hated on him?
Yeah, I was just about to say, man, I can't remember, you know, growing up and not having cordial relationships with men.
or boys or
right.
my age of kids to be. I never saw.
Right.
I'm not gonna say never. It was a rare occasion, not unless drugs were involved, where I saw
right.
men really
right.
going at it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just emotionally going at it. You know, again, if you're in a drug game, if you live in a violent life, then yeah, that came with it. But I never just saw men just on the corner fussing. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Or I never saw people just fighting just for no damn reason. Like, again, unless it was the drug, unless drugs were involved. But yeah, now, man, more than ever, it's just a thing to be bitchy as a man. You know, at work, man, I see cattiness amongst men. And I've actually, it took me a minute to kind of, at first I tried to let it go. Come on, okay, I'm transitioning from active duty, so maybe it's me tripping. Maybe I'm just, you know, still got your
military. The familiar world.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm just different, mm-hmm. I'm still trans. But then I was like, hold on, these dudes was in the
nope.
military too. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's just, you know, a personality thing. You know, it's just personalities is not clashing. I mean, not meshing. But then I realized that they were just bitches. And I couldn't allow myself to be
mm-hmm.
bitched by a man. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't
mm-hmm.
just sit there and just, you know, let a dude roll his eyes without saying something. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I had to check a situation before where I was like, yo, like we grown men. Like, we need to talk to each other like men, not roll your eyes and move your hands and stuff like that. Like, come on, bro. Like, talk to me like a man. If you have a problem with what I'm saying, just come holler at me. You know, and when you come holler at me, I need you to understand that you have to come at me properly. And I'm not saying that I'm a hard thug and anything like that, but just as a man, it's just certain things I'm not going to tolerate. So when you come talk to me, we should be talking to each other with the utmost respect, period, point blank, bottom line, because I don't believe that respect is something that you earn from the bottom up. I believe that respect is something that God has given you when he breathed, you know, when he gave you air, when he gave you life. You already have respect. And if I haven't done anything to lose your respect, then you should always proceed with me as such. You should always give me respect from beginning to end. And I had to
mm-hmm.
learn that the hard way. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm dealing with another man, especially in this particular situation, like, he really, like, violated. And I just had to talk to him. It wasn't nothing. I didn't come at him and threaten him and boast and posture over him and stuff like that. I'm just like, look, bro, we're men. Come talk to me. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do the bitch assness and roll your eyes and wiggle your neck and stuff like that. First of all, that's kind of feminine. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, this is not what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? And ever since
not
then,
at all.
We've been good ever since then. You know what I mean? But it was something that if I didn't do that, if I didn't interject and share my feelings with him in that sense, then we would have been fighting, probably. You know what I'm saying? And that's not something you want to do at work, of course. It's not professional. But either we would have been fighting or it would have just been anger every time me and him had an issue. You know what I mean? And that's
mm-hmm.
not healthy for the work. So we had to address it.
And dude, I'm telling you, it's so front and center right now. It's like, I'm looking at some of these young dudes, and I'm like, yo, really? You said that? Or you did that, and you don't understand why this, that, and that happened? Because, no, I don't get it. Really? Like, there's no dudes around you? Like, no one taught you the way? Dude, you are in
no.
straight-up violation. Like, no, we don't do shit like that. We don't do shit like that. You know, but... Every generation is different. I just pray for the next one. I really, really do. I really, really do. Well, look, family, the other thing that's going on this month is March Madness, and my boys got rolled out of the tournament. Duke lost last week to South Carolina by 7. I did not see the game. Again, this happened on Saturday, and I was – or Sunday, one of the two. I can't even remember, but whatever day it was. My ass was all rolled up and curled out, so it was like, I learned of the fate of my team in all honesty through text messages. I got some text messages, and I was like, okay. And I looked up, I said, oh, and I put my head back down, went right back to sleep. No excuses, though. Good run. Coach said something that seemed like a wake-up call for him. He said, we got to get deeper. And I was like, wow, no shit, first off. Secondly, I was like, okay, but what about all these other dudes who's on the damn bench? Like, what the hell is going on? And sadly, college basketball in a lot of ways is like the NFL used to be. Dudes will be hurt, and you'll never know about it until, like, the season is over. And then they'll, you know, come out with all these damn reports. Like, oh, yeah, this person got hurt doing this, and that person got hurt. Like, what shit? Really, not that during the year? And it's a shell game, I guess, you know, trying to get red shirts for guys and just not allowing other teams to know your weaknesses so they can foul. And, you know, they know that you don't have anybody to back up your players that's on the court for right then and there. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. But I do know that Carolina won last night. UCLA got bumped last night.
Yeah,
Kentucky
Florida
won last night. Florida won last night. Let me see. Michigan got bumped last night. And who else played? Was that it? I think that was it. Right now, the slipper looks like it's fitting on
Xavier.
South Carolina. Why are you playing? Nah, Xavier, you would say? Well, they played today, though,
yeah.
Right?
They was 11th seed.
Yeah,
South Carolina, 7th seed.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, Xavier for now. But Michigan had a hell of a run. You have to be proud of what they did. This is a team that bounced back from a plane crash, and you know they made it to the Sweet 16. And they barely won their conference championship. I mean, that team right there, very proud of them and the work they put in this year. There was one early decoration for my team thus far. Tatum is going to the NBA. I'm pretty sure Giles is going to follow. I think Grayson is going to stay. And if he does stay, can you imagine what that says around the country? Here this guy is with all his skills. Let's not forget that he has his tripping incidents, but with all his skills, and he didn't go in his freshman year, he didn't go in his sophomore year, here it is his junior year, if he stays, he comes back for a full term next year. And with the foot injury that he has, he should be healed up fine. We'll get a couple extra pieces to put in the mix. We're going to lose our fifth-year senior, Emile Jefferson. That's going to hurt. Jeter decided to transfer. That hurts, because that would have been some experience and some depth as well. But with Bolden returning, we may actually see Oben get some play time. The Admiral, Robinson, his son was redshirted, so I guess he was hurt this year. So he'll probably play next year as well. So we should be in good shape. You know, Maryland got bounced. Maryland got bounced in the first round, right?
First round.
Yeah, they got bounced in the first round. We'll see what next year holds for them. Villanova got bounced. That was like
early.
Wow. But wow. I was like, wow. Nobody's safe. That is the reason it's called the madness. And it is maddening, but it is what it is. We got, 3 weeks before the NFL draft?
Yes,
three weeks before the NFL draft? The Patriots are looking like a juggernaut again this year. The winter meetings are going on as we speak through the NFL ownership. They're still discussing the move of the Raiders to Vegas. So we'll see if that actually happens. Marshawn Lynch is rumored to maybe coming out of retirement in order to play for the Raiders. No one has yet to sign Adrian Peterson. Why do you think that is, Cuz?
Honestly, I think it boils down to the fear of the fans and his whole domestic violence issue. I don't think it's a health thing or inability thing. I really think just like Ray Rice, I think it's a deal with the whole domestic violence issue. You can't whip your child's ass if you're an NFL player. So, yeah, I really think that's what it boils down to. It was okay in Minnesota because they loved him so much, but to have him go to another team, I think that owners are just in fear of whether or not, you know, that baggage is going to come with him. And he's asking for $8 million for his first year. That's pretty hefty for a guy who, you know, has this baggage and has some injuries. You know, he might be better off asking for about $4 million the first year with some incentives and, you know, a team option for years 2 and 3 or something like that. You know, something like that. He might be better off asking for less up front and getting more in performance. But he's AP, so he's probably thinking, like, yo, I got it. You know, I'm AP. I can do this. But he still has to kind of prove himself.
I think, as you said at the end there about the money, I think that's the thing. I think most teams are waiting for him to totally get cut so they can bring him in at a cheaper price because it saves them money. You know, at his age, it's a risk running him out up and down the field. So why put all that money into somebody whom you don't know how much they have left in the tank? That's a fair question. You know, I don't care what your name is. That's a fair question. I was saying just the other day, I said, you know, let's be honest. The Ravens need to draft a quarterback that they truly believe in either this year or next year. No matter what Flacco does, it's going to be real. It's going to be time very, very soon to move on from him. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well get what you can get from him while he still got it. We'll see,
I don't think they're ever going to get Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco is going to be a legacy player. So he's going to be like Ben Roethlisberger, man. They're going to have to cart him off. But
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If they don't win this year, Flacco ass is gone. Flacco gone, Harbaugh gone. If they don't win this year, both of them mugs are gone. Without a doubt. And I'm not talking about necessarily winning the Super Bowl. I'm talking about getting a nice run in the playoffs. Not backing into the playoffs. I'm talking about getting a nice run into the playoffs. I really don't believe backing into the playoffs this year will save them. I really don't.
We'll see, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, fam, we're going to call it for this week. As always, we thank you for your time. We look forward to meeting up with you all again next week. Until then, please go outside and enjoy this gorgeous weather that we have going on here. Live, family. Live. If I can entice you to do nothing else, please get up, get out, and do some daggone living. You all be safe. You all be good. Peace.
Peace.